Welcome to Old Trafford, Niger Branch.
Home of sly tackles, red cards, yellow cards, and 93rd minute screamers from outside the box.
Home to sure 3 points, trebles, and all Niger Red Devils around the world.
We are defenders, the vex, and strikers, I date ye.
So, adjust your shin guard, tie your boots, and increase your volume small.
Ready?
Now let the match day begin.
Good afternoon, everyone. You are welcome to another episode of Bread to the Bones podcast. If you are a Manchester United fan, as I've always said, this is the place you are meant to be. I am Dare, and I am your host for today. With me, I have Andy, who is my beautiful co-host. Andy, please.
Thank you so much, Dare. Today, we have with us Jibola and Larib, and they'll be telling us a little bit about themselves before we get down to business. Larry, the floor is all yours.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. I'm Larry.
Good afternoon.
I'm Larry Ben. I'm a student of a final year student of mathematics. I'm a student in financial traveling. My page is at Larry on Twitter. And apart from that, I play football. Apart from watching Mario, I play football. All only in gangs.
Olin.
Gang. Jibola.
I'm Jibola. And apart from supporting Manchester United, I'm a marketer with Rhymo Smart Apologies. I'm a gospel musical artist. And also, I'm an OAP with BUK FM. And I'm also an.
Sorry, what did you say? I didn't hear that.
I guess he's having connection issues. So we just have to move on with the agenda of the day.
Well, a lot of people have been complaining about Lindelof and Maguire partnership.
Larry,
is that
yes?
Lindelof and Maguire, what do you think? Yes or no? And please do give us reason why.
For now, it's a no for me. Okay. Because last match before this one, and that's Crystal Palace, it was obvious Lindelof isn't worth starting at the moment. And then next one against Brighton, I think Wan-Bissaka was there to cover his flaws more, but again, the area trade that Brighton were throwing to that side, and Wan-Bissaka was not there to cover up at times, but he was not supposed to cover up. But since that place is just free again, I don't know what to do. But when Bailey came inside, area trade reduced, but again, they are using that. So for now, it's enough for me because I don't believe in him again at the moment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, for me, it's a no for me too, because Lindelof and Maguire, they don't look like people that want to play the ball. They will fuck up, like they will make a mistake, they will give the ball out instead of them to at least try and cover up so that nothing will happen. They'll just relax and allow other people to run back for them. So it's a no for me. Dare, what about you?
For me, on the fence, because definitely you can't just wake up one day and change a partnership that has been playing together for the season. So for me, I'm still on the fence. And for the Wan-Bissaka issue, I actually agree with Larry. I also noticed that in yesterday's match, Wan-Bissaka was playing a bit narrow. I don't know why, but he was playing a bit narrow. I guess it was probably to cover something, but it was very narrow, and that was giving the right back match?
Yes.
He was bombing forward because Wan-Bissaka was too narrow.
Okay. So do you think Bailey should start ahead of Lindelof and you guys also think we need a new centre back?
For me, it's a no. We don't need a new centre back for now. I beg. We do not.
Larry, what about you?
For me, it's a no two. We don't need. Actually, if Bailey is fit, then it's okay. And we have promoted Mengi. We have Gloria Mengi also. And you don't know. Lindelof might come up with again.
Yeah, we have Mengi, we have Twazembe, we have Bailey. Like, what do we need a center back for again? See, let's use that money to strengthen other positions in the team.
Okay,
so the next agenda on the table is the issue of Van de Beek. I've seen a few people online saying he should start the next match, but I don't know. Should he start? I don't know.
Well, honestly, for me, I don't know. I'm indifferent because I haven't really seen much of what he has done since he came. Like that, I was expecting to see a little bit more, but I'm not seeing much like that. So, I'm indifferent.
For me, I don't expect him to start immediately, because when Man United bought him, I expected him to be squad depth or something. And now Pogba, we don't know what's the issue with him, last fit or something. But I don't expect VDB to bench Pogba immediately like that. So, and that's the problem with Ole. He doesn't put in player immediately like that, except you show you are worth it, or the player in that position isn't performing like that. So I don't expect him to start next match.
Yeah, because I don't expect him to, apart from just benching Pogba, like how would he fit into that squad? People say he's versatile, yes, but we all know that his strength is in attacking. So I don't know, how would he fit? Putting him in that Pogba role, we only have the same issue we're having with Pogba. Someone who is good attacking wise, but in holding the ball and progressing, we might have issues with that. I don't know, what's your thought on that?
So fitting, like, if expecting him to play, like, I don't expect him to start. So for him to play, I expect a DM at his back, actually. So the only position he can play when starting, if Pogba play, then it should be pivot or something, 4-4-2 formation, maybe shifting him to the wing or Bruno, so they should play. That's what I expect.
As per the formation, I don't know. See, 4-4-2 pivot, to play 4-4-2 pivot, you will need to have width. And our fullback, we know our fullbacks cannot.
Yo.
Our fullbacks cannot provide the width. If we say, okay,
yeah,
we should use Rashford and Martial or Greenwood or whoever is going to start up as a two, as wide forwards, then we are sacrificing players being in the box to score the goals. But I don't know. What's your thought on that, Jibola?
No.
Yeah. I will just have to say something. We are not realistic if we are expecting Van de Beek to just come into the team and get 90 minutes under his belt every match now. Because I think the coach, Ole, who you all know I don't really like, is trying to assess where Van de Beek can come in and fill a vacuum which is missing in the midfield. It's very obvious we have midfielders, we have a lot of them, but he wants to see where the guy will fit in very well. I'm still talking about a change of position using the wingers as the... I don't think the wingers we have are versatile enough to be utilized in that manner. Rashford, to my own understanding, is not somebody that knows how to mark very well. He tracks back, yes, but he's not the guy that marks well compared to the likes of, let's use Adama Traore, maybe Victor Moses. So that's just it.
Yeah, I get that too. But if we're looking at it, we only just have two wingers at the club, if I've been realistic.
Yes.
That's Rashford and what's his name? That's Speed Demon.
James. Yeah.
Yeah, those are the only two wingers we have at the club.
in my own opinion, I even think Daniel James can do well as like a left back or right wing back if utilized in that position compared to Rashford. So I'll say we stick to our formation, you understand, pick it up a little bit with the players, not the formation itself, giving them instructions. Okay, I know we are playing you as so, but we'll be needing you to do this, do that, and an extra, should I say, work on the pitch. So that's it.
Yeah, so for you, it's not about the formation, it's about the role they will play on the pitch. That's okay. That's okay. Andy.
Please, do you guys think we should bench De Gea for Henderson or we should wait one more season? Personally, for me, I don't think we should bench him at all because I know he makes a lot of mistakes most time, but Omo, he has helped us for a very long time. And I doubt Ole will just bench him for Henderson. Jibola, what do you think?
You have a point. This is ninth season with the club and he has put in a lot of effort. There was a time that Vieira was the one saving our asses. We wouldn't be so ungrateful to just bench him because of one flash in the pan. That was Dean Anderson. Since then, like Dean, I see that show we pulled up against Luton Town, man, I was like, well, this is what I kind of the concept I signed up for. But like we normally joke, let's just still cut the air some slack and see if he is going to rediscover his form. But in the meantime, Henderson should start in one of the competitions. We still have Romero, who we shouldn't forget is another good goalkeeper. But maybe we should just do division of labor and stick to it on like last season. If Henderson is going to be keeping Calabar Cup, let him stay with Calabar Cup. Romero is going to stay with FA Cup. Let him continue with the FA Cup. If, what's his name? Henderson still or Digi is going to keep in our short stint in the championship because I know it's going to be short. So let's not do like last season where Romero started all the cup games and when it mattered the most, you now benched him. A lot of fans complain about that, and most of people were like, Romero's head that even caught us that we were eliminated. So that's
one of them.
That's my own opinion on the goalkeeping issue.
I actually think you have a point about if this person is playing.
And when the FA Cup is over, if we are eliminated, just know that you will just be seen on the screen, there, smiling and waving to us if possible. So that's it. Everybody, division of labor, that's the best thing.
For me, I expect DGs should be starting for now. Because I see our experienced goalkeeper at the moment. Against Luton, Henderson make a mad save and he kept on in the game before other players came to change the game for us. But you can't forget this last match we played, DG was class. Let's forget about it. It was class. He saved us in some aspects. Well, Intel over fucking up that. Is it true, sir? But he saved with his leg. He saved us in that game. And that's the DDG we are expecting this season if he's going to pop up again. So yes, I think it's starting for now. But we don't know. Errors again. Error, maybe we don't know. But for now, I expect it to be starting.
For me, too. For me too, I expect David De Gea to start. But see, that Dean guy is not coming to play.
Yes.
If you notice, because that Luton match, I actually watched it because of him. If you noticed him, his distribution is better than De Gea. We don't want to like
true.
Distribution. Like
And as young as he is, he's very vocal and he commands his box well.
Yeah,
I won't say
that.
Not come for my head, but he commands his box well. So for the year to keep his spot, it will be more than I've served this club for 9 years. We'll have to see.
Like that.
I actually think with the presence of Anderson, I think the girl is actually putting.
Yeah, I guess.
What other, like the two problems with DJ as mostly that what Dean possesses, that commanding the post, the post, the service and near post problem. DJ like is not that good there.
Yeah,
but Dean has everything actually. But
his position at the near post is actually
yes.
Although sometimes. He has laughs because I watched him at Sheffield. He considered some goals, but it's actually way better than DJ zone.
Yes.
Yeah. Just to join in on this issue of De Gea and Anderson, I think I noticed that De Gea has improved in some things recently. Let's talk about him being vocal in his box. I think. Against Brighton yesterday, you could see there was a shot that Trossard shot, and De Gea stood up and maybe with the corners yesterday, he came out to punch the ball out, unlike the
Gea,
who normally waits and you get. So I believe Dean is going to be. An eye opener for him that hey, see, if I don't wake up, but boy, this guy is not joking.
I actually want to address something. You know, guy, you said Dean is a flash in the pan, guy. Don't talk him.
Who said it?
I,
Jibola,
yeah,
he's not hey. Guy. Don't talk him. That boy has had two very good seasons with Sheffield. Don't talk him, he's not a flash in the pan. Though. He has shown that he can be consistent with what he does.
Yes, there's a saying that says, Motiri Yawo Koyale. So I don't want that to be the case. I'm sorry for the non Yoruba speaking people. It means like,
please, when you, thank you.
When you get a new wife, you forget the first wife or the old wife and all. So, I still refer to him flash in the pan. I'm not apologetic about that. Sorry. At the top, at the toughest level, the pressure and the aura that comes with keeping for United cannot be compared to that of Sheffield United. Nobody expected Sheffield United to pull anything through when they came last season, but they did, which is a plus for them. But United, even if we are not performing well, even our haters want us to perform well. It is well or nothing for United. So that's why I called him flash in the pan. I'm not talking about his ability. He's a very good shot stopper. His distribution is good. You understand? Not to the level of the likes of Ederson and Bravo,
Alisson and Co.
Concede goals from distribution related errors. You understand? So he's good, but De Gea still has something to offer. And if you look at it well, De Gea has approached the age where goalkeepers are always at their best. Buffon, even Romero, Casillas, and all of them, they started performing well when they were near 30, 31.
I was going to come to that.
Yeah.
Because I watched this guy throughout the Champions League, and I watched him today again, Manuel Neuer.
Yeah.
If you remember, like 2 years ago, he had similar issues to De Gea.
Yes,
he was always conceding goals. People were even saying he was finished, but now he's back and that guy is fine now. Forget that Bayern conceded 4 goals today. Bayern would have conceded much more if not for Manuel Neuer. The guy put up some mad saves today, and I was like, guy,
I'm angry. My ticket was in line.
Against Sevilla, he was not a kept them in the game now.
Omo, Manuel Noah is now on fire. So if we have that kind of situation with the gay, Omo,
I think we are safe
because
he's going to come back and going to come back with fire, with like fire, like rain. Like he's going to chart all of his naysayers. That's what I believe.
No, hello, believer.
Our believer. We don't really have much to say anymore. Just our last two games. The performances, I don't know. It's been very lethargic. We've just been slow. The play is slow. The passing is slow. Everything about it is just slow. I don't know what the problem is though.
Like about our passes, Abi.
Our performance in general against Luton Town and Brighton.
Against Luton Town, like I saw them, they're playing with more energy, like they are fast. I don't know. Maybe because they think they are playing with like they are a fast team or something, or maybe others the players want to prove themselves to enter the first team. They are playing with more energy to in the game. Maybe all those ones want to prove that they are worth entering the first team or so. I don't know. Or because losing to a fast team football playing like they were fast. But against Brighton, first half, no urgency in that team at all. Like they are just, they don't know. I don't know what they are playing. Then after Brighton scored, that's when Greenwood started like move the ball, and that was the move that front and Shaw to that freak that lead to the goal. But second half, only when they are only fast, like you are marking them, that was around 55 minutes to 60. The remaining, they are slow. I don't know what's going on with the players actually. Maybe it's only, or maybe it's players are tired. I don't even know. But what Ole said, we need 3 to 4 games to gel together. Well, we wait and see. Now we've played 3 games already. One more, we'll see.
Oh, okay. So just to contribute on that, let's say we should stick with what Ole is telling us. The gaffer is the one that is in charge, the one that trains with them. Yeah. So, like he said, we still need 3 or 4 games before they are going to be fit, and we can also blame it on the fact that they didn't have like adequate preseason. It was just Aston Villa, if I'm right. It was just Aston Villa. So probably they are not match sharp. Who do you want the Shalaye all this stuff for? If Mourinho participates our next Premier League game, is he going to cut some slack for us that we are not really fit? Maybe start attacking us much more, that maybe they should increase the 18-yard box to so that we can get the penalties. Mourinho is coming for blood. You understand?
Better leave that old man alone. He doesn't want to know.
So, the thing is, Brighton, we are going to be playing them again, maybe on Thursday, midweek. Sha, are you telling me that with that performance they put on Saturday, that was yesterday, they are going to have a belief that, okay, if we press harder, we might win these guys? So that's the thing. We understand with Ole, but the truth is that a lot of teams also did not get adequate precision. And they are doing well. I just think it's the attitude of the players. I still think a lot of players still believe some players will come in and their morale is going to be boosted. I'm not sure some players in the team right now believe in the team. And that's me being sincere here. If Sancho comes in, sorry for bringing it up, you understand? If Sancho comes in, if Alex Telles comes in, they see fresh blood. They see guys who are going to give them a run for their money. I believe they are going to do better, but they are just so lackadaisical about the whole team. Everybody knows that they are starting sure. So any play anything, anywhere they
try. But like, isn't that supposed to make them play better? Like, okay, oh, let me play well so that when this person comes, the manager doesn't think of benching me for this particular person. Because I don't understand. Like you said when you were talking, you said other teams had preseason. That's it. Man City.
Not.
And other teams. They didn't have a preseason also. They had very short preseason, but they are still playing okay. So I don't know. Seriously, I don't know.
I have
no idea why it's like that, to be honest. I'm pretty clueless, to be honest.
See, like I said, I just feel that's it. That does not mean I'm right, you understand? But maybe, just maybe, if other players come and join the team, maybe it will show up their confidence and, you know, we'll see a better showing.
No,
Sean knows that there's an issue. Because, sincerely, I think Sean does not see Brandon as a threat to his position at all. So if Sancho comes in, who will know clearly that he can play anywhere up front apart from number 9. So if Sancho comes in, even Martial will sit up and be like, at least, may this guy not come, chance me, you understand? So I think that's just the issue. The players too are expecting the board and the coach to sign some players just to ginger them. See, you can't tell me that the Chelsea players are made gingered by Kai Havertz, Timo Werner, and the Ziyech guy and all of that. So that's what they need. Man City are seeing a young prospect at the back, Nathan Ake. You understand? They know that, okay, yes, we need a guy in the team. Look at other teams. So I think it's part of the issue contributing. Everybody is just playing all dine and die football now.
For me actually, I think it's the player's attitude.
Yeah.
Because first half of Brighton, Bruno Martial, like Bruno that is the ginger last season, like produced the star, like Ishmael Mark, run at four. Like wasn't running, they were slow. But even when they ran it,
yeah, like
yeah,
they're even player of the year now. Why in good year?
So that second half, Brighton. Only it was when Bruno started running at 55. That was when we saw Martial trying to run at defenders, Rachel trying to run at defenders. Because I think it's player attitude. Like maybe it might be ginger of maybe no new players were there. Because when Bruno came, when he came January. And they saw like it was boiling. Others have to step up, actually. Yeah.
All of them. And
level.
Yeah,
I guess. That's a very, very, very good point, though. That's a very good point. For me, I didn't watch the first half because my network was quite bad. But I watched the second half now. I was really disappointed in the performance. I was really disappointed. It was as if, you know, when you're playing PS2, when you're playing PS2, and you are controlling your player, but you are not pressing R1. You are just playing with R1. You are not sprinting. That was how the gameplay was. It was as if they could not run. So as if they could not. The passing was very slow. At a point, it was quite annoying. I felt like closing the screen. Like, why am I wasting my time? But I watched what until the second minute when Brighton scored. That was when I closed the stream. That oops, everything has finished. The next, I saw 3-2. How that happened? But we thank God for the
yeah. Points, yeah. Let God just
so, for the fans. On to the next game, yeah. I think we have Brighton on Tuesday and Tottenham on weekend. So what are your predictions for the games?
I personally, Brighton, we are still going to beat them. No matter what, no matter how they are gra. And if we don't still beat them, it's Calabar Cup. We move. It's taking away the stress on the players. But I know, I'm certain that we are still going to beat them. And for Tottenham, believe me, it's going to be a tough game. I don't know if Gareth Bale will be fit for the game or not, you understand? But
I don't think he's not back until October.
Oh, thank God. So, the Tottenham team now, those guys, Son Heung-min, Harry Kane, Lucas Moura, Steven Bergwijn on the bench, those guys don't play. But we can also look at the fact that Mourinho has started dampening the mood of the squad with Dele Alli, Ndombele, and all of that. So, hopefully, Ole can outwit Tottenham. But believe me, I'm not going to put my money on that game.
Oh.
Nobody
will. For me, I think we are beating Brighton, actually. Because Bailey is starting. Bailey is starting for sure. And most matches, Bailey starts. We always keep clean sheet, actually. So all those gaga they gave us in Premier League won't be like that in Carabao Cup. But Tottenham match, I think we have upper and Adeyemi. Although we are not playing good, Son is out now for a month. Bale is out for a month. So and Kane doesn't perform like that against United without Son now. It's a problem for him. And Bedwin hasn't actually performed this season. So. We should wait and see. But we don't know if those players will ginger up against Mourinho again. So I don't know. But I think we have a pound at the moment.
Sorry, before Darry comes back, the thing is that I still have to ask this question. I love Victor Lindelof so much. But do you think he should be starting in the league? As it is like really dangerous. I know Ole is the kind of coach that believes in his player, give them chance to be their best self and everything. But for the sake of the team right now, do you think Eric Bailly should just come in and let's see what he can give us for now?
For me, I am indifferent about it. I'm on defense for now.
For now, we can still start because Ole has the issue of not benching player immediately if flop. Like last season, Pereira, we are flopping and we are calling for maybe Angel Gomez or anybody to step up. But he keeps playing them until he saw Bruno that I'm feeling the place perfectly. For now, I can't trust Bailey because Bailey is not someone I can trust to be match fit. Throughout.
That's just the thing about him. He's injury prone, so that's a bad thing.
So that's why I'm on the fence.
I think just watching Bailey, if he'll be match fit for him to start starting, so maybe. But for him, I want him to be benched for now. But I know.
Do you think we should get another center back if it's possible?
No.
Center back. No. Waste of money, I beg. money we will not get. No, we will spend them on top. Something.
Yeah.
What was that before?
You want to talk on Tottenham? What?
Oh, yeah. For Brighton, I'm on Larry's side. I want to beat Brighton. That one will be... All those ones will be... Brighton, they go chop on. That one will be a problem. Aside the whole football side, the whole conversation that is going on between Ole and Jose in the media, I am looking forward to that. So that's the main thing I'm looking forward to. But I still think we can beat Tottenham. Because if we are looking at their back line, sure, it's quite solid. Well, they have Doherty there.
Solid on paper, not at back line.
They have Doherty there that is used to playing as a wing back. He's not used to playing as a right back or there.
Yeah.
See, if we can exploit that his wing with Rashford, forget.
That's another EP. Right.
Go load there.
That Rashford of a boy. You get. Yeah. Apart from the goal, sincerely, against Brighton. I don't know, but I don't see anything he played.
He didn't play anything.
Okay.
But you know he was actually involved in two other goals. That were
Which goals? Yes, he scored two goals actually. Okay, one assist and one goal.
Yeah. And those were top notch. Especially the pass he gave to Greenwood. That pass was top notch.
But that was not the performance we were expecting from Rashford actually.
Definitely that's not the performance we expect from Rashford.
I don't know his
His injury was not a small one. No.
But I don't know his problem. Yesterday, the issue I have with him yesterday was like his problem. They are closing down that wing yesterday. If Shaw was moving the ball, instead of him to go and express his space, and he keeps going back to miss Shaw. So all those right divider line, they keep cutting, they keep closing that place down. I don't know why. I don't know, maybe it might be the injury or maybe running at defenders actually. I don't know. But that is the issue I have with him yesterday.
Okay. So, like,
I think I believe he will come back. He will come back.
Okay. Yeah, that's an earnest prayer. Sincerely, I'm not a big Rashford fan. You get that goal yesterday.
I am.
That goal yesterday, I just had to put all sentiments. This is what I signed up for. You get. We just hope he gets better with time, because if he's playing well, it will be advantageous to the team. So he should pull up those performances. And lucky for us, Rashford is the kind of player that comes up, that comes alive in big games. I think right now in the team, he's one of the players that has had most goals against the top six teams. So I think that's another thing. Like, I don't know who said it, but Doherty is used to playing as a wing back, which means he will not be playing poop at the back for long. So if Rashford can exploit that speed, you understand?
That's what I'm saying.
Martial is the kind of striker that comes out to play with the wingers. So if they can pull in some beautiful 1-2 passes, I'm very sure that we can do them damage and just get the job done with. But it's not going to be an easy game.
Yeah, we all know that Tottenham is never easy. I think that should be all for today.
Okay.
Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you guys for coming.
Yeah. Thank you for cutting us some slacks, actually.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, we cut slacks for everybody. We don't slander.
Okay.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much.
Bye. See you guys next episode. Sunday. Bye.
Hope say una enjoy the match, sha.
We don't dribble, oh.
We don't shoot our shots.
We don't tear it.
And we don't put 3 points for pockets. Till next Sunday on Red to the Bones.
Tell your friends, where they can't see, waiting you save, don't see.
Welcome to Old Trafford, Niger Branch.
Home of sly tackles, red cards, yellow cards, and 93rd-minute screamers from outside the box.
Home to sure 3 points, trebles, and all Niger Red Devils around the world.
We are defenders, the vex, and strikers, I date ye.
So, adjust your shin guard, tie your boots, and increase your volume small.
Ready?
Now let the match day begin.
Hello guys, another Red to the Bones. My name is Kriye. Today with me, I have two very delectable and highly esteemed with me. First off is Camille. Camille, could you just introduce yourself and, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm Kamir Bayou, a strong United supporter every day. Why not support United every day? Also, hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
That's what I mean. Nice support.
Oh, software developer. Nice. And okay, also, I have Emmanuel Mordi. Emmanuel, welcome to the show. Welcome to the Red Team Zone podcast. Can you tell us?
Thank you very much. Okay, I am Emmanuel. I am a staunch Manchester United supporter, as you already know. And aside being a supporter, I'm jobless actually. But I'm preparing for my master's, okay? Yes, in environmental toxicology. So that's what I'm waiting for.
Okay, sweet. Well, let's get into it. Emmanuel, I want to start with you. What do you think of today's game?
Today's game, I only watched the first half. But from what I watched, it has just confirmed everything I've said in the last few days, that apart from coaching or players' ability, like physical ability, this team has a very big problem, which is the mentality of the team. It is very, very weak. We've seen it time and time again when there's an individual error or something goes wrong in the game and these players can't pick themselves up and push on. Immediately we got that red card, I closed my stream because I knew after that red card, the game was going down. Not because we got the red card and we're one man down, but because the mentality of these players, I don't know. I don't want to call it a loser's mentality, but the mentality of these players are just weak. And I knew they would capitulate, and it happened. By halftime, we're 4-1 down. I opened my stream again to watch the second half. Maybe something will happen. I had to close it again because the way they were playing, it didn't seem like people that were trying to even stay in the game at all.
Did we have spells where we played well or where we dominated all through the game?
I would say before the red card, it seemed like we're going to get back into the game. We saw the Rashford chance, the Greenwood chance. We were creating chances. Martial was making runs. Bruno was picking passes. We were creating chances. But immediately that red card happened, that was the end.
Okay. Camille, yes. He has just mentioned that the mentality of this squad is weak. Now, first off, do you agree with that?
And yes, I do.
Oh, you agree with that. So whose fault is it that we have a bunch of scrubs with zero winning mentality, and what can be done about that?
I feel that mentality has to boil down to the coach. That is the coach's problem. Because first things first, that was what he sold to us. The mentality, the United DNA. That was his plan. According to him, before Ole coming in, I knew nothing of any United. I knew of no United DNA. He promised us attacking football. He promised us a lot. But the core of the team, which is the mentality, is weak. He hasn't built it. He tends to... He pushes to the side of confidence, of giving young players confidence going forward and expressing themselves. But I think he also plans for when things go wrong. Because as we have seen today, when things went wrong, there was no chance. We just jogged for 90 minutes and inshallah.
Now, it's one thing to play attacking football and still lose. We've seen the best of teams play attacking football and still lose. What can Manchester United do at this point? Well, first of all, I know that a lot of us fans, there's something that is called haram football, and we have coaches like Jose Allegri, Simeone. They play haram football, but Manchester United fans, they don't like that kind of football. They don't like that defensive football. What is it? What's important? The football, attacking football, or the results?
For me, the football is crap. It's totally nonsense. There's no proper way, there's no right way to play football. There's no proper way to play football. So people say shit about, saying, people saying terrible things about negative football and defensive football, saying it's not the way forward and all. It's nonsense. If it gets you the results that is needed, stick with it. I feel what caused United's issue was the fact that we had a coach that played haram football, and it didn't sit down well with a lot of the United greats, especially the class of 92s and a lot of them. And that affected us in supporting the coach, sticking by him a lot. What I'm driving at is that haram football, if it gets you the desired results, go for it. There's no point in playing beautiful football and ending up in a very terrible place. A lot of teams play beautiful football. For example, Eddie Howe of last season played very good football before the injuries. Nathaniel Fakke of Norwich played very good football before everything captured on it. But if it doesn't get a result, why do it? That's my plea for it.
So now it's result over style of play. Now, you said something about the United greats not accepting the kind of football that we were playing under the former manager. Emmanuel, do you think that... Okay.
Yeah, on that issue, I wouldn't say Mourinho was sacked or he was let go because of the style of play. Or even because of the block, you can say that. Because when we were appointing him, the club knew what we were getting. The club knew we were not going to get attacking football, whatever we'll call it. The club knew that Jose is a pragmatic man.
Exactly.
And he has pragmatic winning. So I wouldn't say that the style of play did not go down well with the Brits. Because appointing him, we knew what we were getting. We let go of Mourinho because of the environment around the club. We were losing from the beginning of the season. We lost to Tottenham at home 3-0. We lost to Wales. We lost to...
One of the next match.
We lost to Brighton. We lost...
Was it Brighton? Yeah.
But it was... We almost lost to Newcastle. You know, we are having bad results, but he was still not sacked. We were having bad results before that season. He was still not sacked. Instead, he was given a 3-year contract extension. The problem that came with Mourinho at that point in time was the environment around the club, and the club probably felt it was putting the entire image of the club in a bad light. That is what I feel. That is my opinion on that. So on that issue of the style of play not being down with the grades, I don't agree with that.
Now, I remember on a number of occasions when Paul Scholes would be making analysis and completely antagonize the entire game based on style of play. Scholes and Ferdinand in particular. Now, this is something I'm sure of. They hold the style of play irrespective of the result. And if we eventually did not win, it's one thing to play negative football and win. You now play negative football and then you don't win. They literally tore Jose Mourinho up. That's why they kept saying, oh, he's finished, football has gone past him, oh, he's a dinosaur and all that stuff. So I would actually have to object to your opinion on that. I feel like, and you know how, in my opinion now, the United greats have significant influence on the things that happen in the club, right? I don't know what position Alex Ferguson still holds, but I mean, he still has an influence. You see, have people
yeah,
like,
definitely.
You see, have people like Evra, Ferdinand, Scholes. They might not have a position, but the things they say in the media goes a very long way, in my opinion, to tweak one or two things with the decisions that are made, right? So. I have a feeling, or I would have to support the motion, that the United greats did have, in quotes, a part to play with the decision that was made based on Jose's type of football. But today is not about Jose and his type of football. At least not yet. Regarding the manager, do you think that the United greats cover him up? Now, I know that they dragged the former manager based on his style of play, based on the results. Are we seeing the same energy with Ole Solskjaer, Emmanuel?
I would say no. We are not. But I wouldn't say it is totally down to the person. Yes, it plays a part, but it's not totally down to the person. Because you see, when they talk about it most times, it is, we've seen this thing happen over the years. First manager, second manager, third manager. So in a way, the blame would naturally shift away from the current manager. So I wouldn't say we are getting the same energy, but I don't still think that is due to the person that he is.
It's not because it's Ole. You're not saying that we're not seeing the same energy as other managers, but you don't think it's because it's Ole, and because
I think it's going to happen regardless of who the manager is now.
What are your thoughts on the reception of, you know, what are your thoughts on Ole in the media? How are people receiving this thing that's going on right now? The way people are approaching his situation, do you think it's different from previous managers? And do you think it's because he's Ole, like he was a Manchester United player and then he had some great moments with us? Do you think that is the reason why he might not be receiving the same energy?
Yes, I feel the media is biased. Because judging from our previous manager and this manager that we have presently, Ole, the media is definitely biased. Very biased. Because there are times where we played terribly. We played terribly under Mourinho. He got the stick. He got lambasted for it. But the media now, under Ole, when this sort of thing happens, he gets covered up. Probably, what player did he do this? What player was not active? This or that. They make up excuses for him, especially the class of 92. So, on that note, I feel the media is very biased towards him. And it's not going to help the club. It's not good.
Sorry, I just want to ask something before. Are you saying the media or class of 92? Because if it's the media in general, then you're wrong there.
The class of 92, majorly, how will I put it, is like the only media that I'll say has influence on United, according to what I've seen over the years. So if I say the class of 92, they won at least for a good 55% of the media that affects United. So the media is proper for them.
Do you think the media are just as firm as they were on other managers? Now I'm talking to Emmanuel, not the class of 92 now. Do you think the media in general are firm with Ole as they have been with other managers?
I think they have. Because if after every game, if you go online, you see their talk shows, you see the kind of things they tweet about. Most of them, what you see is Ole is not the man. Ole is clueless. What else? You see different things about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. You see them saying he is only in the job because he's a white man. I have seen that before in the same media. So I would say if there is any bias, it's probably coming from the class of 92, like I said earlier. But if it's the media in general, the Sky Sports, the BBC, the ESPN, then he's wrong there because there is no bias. These people eat into Ole like something else. If you watch their talk show.
The Sky Sports. It's Ferdinand and Gary Neville that are usually on Sky Sports.
Wrecking is a
mistake. So if it's
their talk shows are different from their pundit show. You know that, right?
Okay.
Their match day talk shows, pundit shows are different from their general talk shows. If you watch their YouTube pages and all that.
Which one do people listen to? Which one carries more weight? Which one do people tend to listen to.
The pundit shows are just during the game. Wait, the pundit shows are during the game and probably immediately after the game. But the main one that leads into the media is the talk shows.
Are you saying that the talk shows have more influence? I mean, more reach, not influence now. The talk shows, do they have more reach than the post-match like studio conversations? Because in my...
Yes, they do, because...
In my opinion, the studio sessions, you know, pre-match, in the match, post-match, I feel like they have more coverage compared to, you know,
they're not on TV now. The ones are usually on TV, and probably people who choose to stream it. The talk shows are uploaded on their media pages, not too many people YouTube, follow, not Twitter, follow that Instagram.
Not too many people follow that up. Not too many people follow that up. They have to...
Have you checked their views on YouTube? Have you checked their views on
Twitter? I do not know about that.
Do you see how many? Do you know how many views they get in these things? The quotes we get during midweek or wherever, where do you think they come from? Do they come from post-match pundit shows?
Sometimes.
No, they come from the talk shows. They don't come from the post-match pundit shows. They come from the talk shows. The Karagas and the rest of them, they come from the talk show. You hardly see Gary Neville in the talk show. It's mostly on
Rekin,
the
Rekin is on the talk show, I think.
Rekin is on the pundit show. You hardly see him in the middle shows.
Mm. Okay. Now, let's get back to the game. Halftime. We saw only... Pretend. He tried to make a change that was supposed to influence the game. Now, he brought in Fred and he took off Matic, right? And then he brought in McTominay and he took off Fernandez. Here's my thought. We're losing by 4 goals and then you removed our DM and our attacking midfielder and you place them with 2 central midfielders. What possibly could be the rationale behind that decision? Manuel, I mean, you saw the game. Like, you saw the first half, but he took off Fernandez and Matic and he put Fred and McTominay. What do you think, or what do you make of that? Of that decision?
I don't have any defense. So, to be honest, I don't have any defense against that substitution. Immediately, I saw it on my fourth mob app and shouted, like, what sort of substitution is this?
Paper.
We are losing. Why are you taking off Bruno? Why are you taking off Matic? Okay, you take off Matic, you bring on Fred. Why are you taking off Bruno? Even if we want to stay back and try and keep the scoreline respectable, we should still have a bit of attacking threat. The straw for me was when he took off Greenwood, and I was like, okay. To be honest, I have no defense for the substitutions today. I have no defense.
Now, this is 2020. I mean, it's partly almost over, but I've barely ever seen a football game where a team plays without a DM to cover the back line. You know, and I thought that was like the height of incompetence, you know, in game tactics. Because why don't you have a DM to cover the back line? Right? I can understand that you're trying to, you know, attacking threat, right? Because Fred and McTominay are more attacking players than Matic, I understand. But how do you take off Fernandez? Do you get me? That for me did not make any sense. And then in the end we conceded 2 more goals. Let's talk about Maguire 1 second. Camille, this guy is one of our most expensive players. Currently the most expensive defender in the world. What do you make of his performance? Now, in this game and in previous games, we've conceded about 11 goals, right? If I'm not mistaken. So what do you make of his performance, first of all, in this game, and then this season?
For this game, I would say I did not watch the match, but I saw the highlights of the goals. I saw the first one and I did not know how to explain, how to even defend him. Normally, I tend to defend Maguire because they tend to pick on him at times because he's the most expensive player, the most expensive defender presently. But I saw the first goal, which he nodded the ball and still landed on the same spot. I was shocked. That was terrible. Apart from that, yeah, Maguire makes mistakes, lots of mistakes here. Yeah. But put it down to your pundit or every other person. They give you this excuse that, oh, you know that he's not fast. Why did you expect? How would you expect him to be this? You know that he's not the most decent. Why would you expect him to do this? Well, take it back to, down to the Crystal Palace game, where the first goal came in through Lindelof, through the right flank. They both started over the same position, both Lindelof and Maguire, both centre backs. They're both supposed to be on the same line. Your partner RCB moved down the flank towards the corner kick flag, and a cross came in through your middle, through the middle of the box 18, and this man was nowhere to be found, still behind the ball. And for some reason, people advise us to believe that we should take slacks. We should do some slacks.
As cut him some slacks.
Cut him slacks as usual, and let him be, because we know he's slow and he crushed him have coming. Terrible.
Okay, continue. Are you done?
Well, basically, that's the conclusion. It's been terrible this season. We're not
okay
to talk about it.
His price tag, should his price tag determine his expectations?
Very well.
I don't think it should, but it would.
Why do you think it should?
A player is only worth as much as the club values him. A player's price doesn't necessarily reflect his ability. So many things goes into the price of a player. How many years he has on his contract, how important he is to his team. So many things goes into the price. So I do not see the price of the player as a direct of his ability. We've seen cheaper players perform well, and we've seen expensive players flop. It shouldn't.
It is what it is. The price tag determines a lot. I do not buy something of 80 million. I expect it to be, working like something of 10 million. I bought you for that price. If I felt you were worth that price and I bought you, you should give me the value of that price. If you're not going to be worth that price, why did I buy in the first place?
But can I ask a question? Do you think he has not shown that value?
Definitely, is an improvement. He improved the defense. I cannot lie. He had one of the best. Defenses in Europe. He improved the defense. That I cannot lie. He had one of the best. We had one of the best defenses in Europe last season, due to Maguire.
Wait, hold on. Sorry, and I don't mean to be, but we were playing against some Yugoslavian farmers. If we didn't keep a clean sheet, then come on now.
In the league, were we playing farmers?
No, when you say like we had like a significant, we went up until the semifinals in Europe, right? But look at our competition. Up until Sevilla, we didn't really have any, tough opponents that could threaten our defense.
And that's what I'm saying. Let's take Europa out of it. Let's take FA Cup. Let's take League Cup. Let's take whatever out of it. Even in the league, we had one of the best defenses in the league. We considered the second most good in the league. We were in top three for the most clean sheet kept in the league.
That was all due to Maguire. And basically, that was improved a lot by Maguire. Our defense worked.
So Maguire is... Maguire is an improvement in our defense. But this season,
he has been below par.
Yeah, this season, I'd have to agree with Kami on that. This season, he has not been good enough. Yes.
Now, there is one player that we've always defended. Well, not everybody, but a lot of us have defended a lot. And he's supposed to be our star boy. I'm talking about...
I know who this is.
Paul Pogba. Now, I was, to be very honest, I didn't see Pogba for a significant part of the game. He is one of, you know, so we have times when we argue Pogba is the best midfielder in the world. Pogba is top five midfielders in the world. He cannot, what do you call it? De Bruyne cannot lace his football boots and all that stuff. We hype this guy a lot. We defend him. And then most of the time, for me, I will speak for myself, most of the time, I keep telling people, on a very good day, on his day, he's unplayable. If he has people beside him and in front of him, he's this, is that. But for how long are we going to... Someone says that every time we're trying to unlock him, now we need Master Key. When is Pogba going to show us what he's worth?
He has a very good excuse for that.
Yeah, he's been a potential world-class player for 4 years now. Potential. We are not really seeing the potential. And in today's match, I really didn't see Pogba. And if anything, I would have said they should have taken off Pogba instead of Fernandes, because I'm not trying to come and say, he's lazy, Pogba is a lazy player, but I do not really see his input in this game. Right? And I felt like, if you're going, if at all, it was a very, very silly decision to take off Fernandes. But if you're going to take off an attacking player, I would have said it took off Pogba, because I really didn't see his impact in the game. And we've not seen Pogba perform for a while now. Last season he was stricken with injuries, quite all right. But even in the, I mean, you know what? I'm going to throw the question to you guys. What are your thoughts on Pogba?
Yeah, for me, yeah. Speaking on Pogba, this season I feel judging him on his attacking returns this season or his game generally won't do him too well. Won't do him too well. I feel because Pogba is naturally an attacking player. He likes to go forward, likes to play down the left flank. You letting him sit behind the major creator, the team, or our so-called team, the Fernandes, has limited Pogba a lot. That has cut him off. We have not really seen Pogba play what Pogba wants to play. And I feel that has boiled down to the coach. Because when Ole first came in, we saw the best of Pogba. He played him down the left flank. Pogba was making assists, scoring goals for fun. What happened? That is, for this season, Pogba's returns has always been down to the coaches, because the coaches have never allowed him to play where he wants to play. And we also have to think that Pogba has played under Sir Alex Ferguson, one of the greatest coaches in the world. Jose Mourinho, one of the greatest coaches presently. And these two coaches, at one point or the other, one sold him first. The other wanted to sell him and couldn't sell him. Our question is, why did they want to sell him? And why did they feel he's not deserving the team? I feel Pogba's issues are astronomical, but let's end it there for Pogba.
Emmanuel, what are your thoughts on Pogba?
For me, on Pogba, the thing I can say is, this season, like you said, he was not in the game this season. We've not seen anything from him in the game today. I would say this season, aside his free kick in the Carabao Cup, this season he has been nowhere to be found in general. And I don't know, based on this position he's playing, this position we've seen him play it for other teams. And he has excelled at it. And I don't know why, coming to Man United, we are not seeing the same return. I don't know.
You mentioned that he has not really shown up this season. Should we still be playing him if he's not giving us returns? Now, I'm not saying score goals, I'm not saying assist, but be involved in the game.
track back, make some tackles, do the simple things on the pitch. If we are not seeing that, should we keep seeing him on the pitch? Is it because of his profile that he's playing? We dragged Daniel James by his pubic hair. He's not in the starting lineup today. So knowing fully well that, oh, he's really not good enough, and then he's on the sidelines this week, shouldn't we put Pogba on the bench for a bit? What do you think?
Personally, for me, I think it's time for him to sit on the bench.
Okay.
For a few games, it's time for him to sit. Because you can't play you first game, second game, third, fourth, and you're not making any sort of impact on the game. Like you said, let's forget attacking. You are not making passes. You are not defending. You are not doing anything. You are not making take-ons. You are not making interceptions. You are not making blocks. You are giving away needless fouls. You are losing the ball in dangerous areas. You are giving away penalties.
He gave away the penalties against us this evening.
He has given away 2 penalties. The VAR saved us in the last match.
Okay. So, yeah.
So, for personal, I think it's time for him to probably like 2 or 3 games to sit on the bench.
Yeah, I don't mind that. He can come off the bench. But then again, look at the kind of player he is. There is an aura he carries. There is an ego that he works with. This guy is a World Cup winner, one of the most expensive center midfielders in the world. Now, if you put him on the bench, is that not going to cause some rifts in the camp? Like in the thing? What's your opinion on that? You put this guy on the bench. I mean, what happens to the squad? He's an influential player in the squad. So if you're benching him,
personally,
does that not affect the
squad? The long run, to be stupid to bench Paul Pogba now, very very stupid, because Paul Pogba, we know, he's a very, very influential player. On his day, can turn teams around. Paul Pogba has less than a year left on his contract, yeah. Benching him at this point would cause too much rift on the camp. Because for instance, we bench him, he gets angry, his agent talks too much. He lives in 1 year. The team is going to end up in the mud terribly. So I feel benching Paul Pogba now wouldn't be a very, very good signing. It wouldn't be smart. Speaking to him, gingering him, it's the coach's job. He's the best player on the team. Best player in the team. On any standard, nobody's better than him. So if the coach can't get something out of him now, where we need him the most, it would be terrible for us.
So what you're saying is, even though he's not turning up for us
at this point,
we shouldn't bench him.
Nobody. If we do not have anybody on the bench that's going to give us half of what he's going to give us, half of what he could give us, putting in Fred. Fred is a good player, workaholic, cutting the balls. But what happens when he cuts in the balls and we can't create? Pogba is good at can defend, at the same time can attack. Give him, try in the gamble, try gamble with him at this point. Threatening, gamble with him. We cannot lose a player like him due to a bad streak of games caused by the manager.
Okay, we've looked at 2 players in Pogba and Maguire. We've had reports. First of all, Man U is sitting pretty at 16th position on the table. There are reports that we are signing Telles and Cavani. Is this a significant improvement on our squad? Do you think that these 2 players coming in can turn our season around?
Telles and Cavani.
Tevez, I do not know. I do not understand why. That man is freaking old. Very old man. I do not know what impact that man is going. I cannot say. I'm not part of the technical team, but that does look like a very smart transfer. And we understand. Yes, people pressure.
Why not?
Then again, we've not had smart transfers in this club. It's a normal thing.
At this point, it's not. It's terrible. Right, even my transfers. You thinking about it is terrible for your health, honestly. So, Cavani, yeah, I understand, but Tevez, why?
Alex Telles,
very good there. Sorry, that's what I've been wrong. Pardon me. Alex Telles, okay. Yeah. We want to play attacking football. We have our fullbacks are Brandon Williams, Luke Shaw, Wan-Bissaka, and Diogo Dalot.
Dalot has gone
up. Yes, he just left now. Okay. X out Dalot.
Yeah.
We have Shaw, Brandon Williams, and Wan-Bissaka. Shaw.
Fosu-Mensah.
Please don't call that one.
Fosu-Mensah is a utility player.
That guy is just vibes. No, he's allowed to win.
You don't get position. Just leave him out. Continue.
He's supposed to be our best fullback. But we ask ourselves, how much does Shaw contribute attacking wise?
He has 6 assists in 6 years.
That is very terrible. No amount of slacks that I'm giving to Shaw, but it can never be enough, bro. That is sick. I never knew the stats, but that is terrible. That Shaw does not cross. He makes runs into the box, but really, maybe in a match where we are leading terribly, the defense is really poor. Our opponent's defense is really pure, really poor. Sure, attacking wise, very terrible, but as a defender, he does well, he plays well, pockets almost everybody that comes towards him. On the other side, Aaron Wan-Bissaka. That guy, I like him as a defender, but going forward, it's terrible. I felt only as a coach when he had the option of Diogo Dalot. Diogo Dalot, for as little matches as Dalot has played, I can bet that he has the most attacking, he gives the most attacking returns of all our fullbacks. He gives more crosses, more runs into the box, more runs into the box. More than any of our fullbacks. Why hasn't he been given him a chance? Yes, we say he cannot defend well. Trent Alexander-Arnold, we knew he can't defend shit. Put him on pace. Put him. Give him a very good. Give him a good left winger. And Arnold is out of the game. He can't catch him. He can't do nothing. He can't influence the game from there. He can't defend. I felt he should have played that lot. On a number of occasions where we needed more attacking returns, set up your team to defend, to cover for him when he's caught off the ball. Give him the ball, let him play as much as possible, let him rip him as much crosses as he could have given us. But it is what it is. We have Saka, our prime creator from the right wing, the winning process.
Okay, so yeah, well, that's that. Just before we round up, Emmanuel, what's your take on signing Telles and Cavani? Do you think that these two players can turn our season around?
Ability wise, they can, but they are just two players.
No more Sancho.
If the entire Whoa, no, no, forget that guy, I beg. They are just two players. If the entire team doesn't wake up, I don't think those two players will turn this season around. because they are just two players.
No. Well, yeah, they are just two players, and for me, I feel like this is a panic buy. Panic buy because I know that Ole has always talked about having a youthful squad and all that stuff, and then here we are signing. Cavani is going to be 34 years old in February. You get me? So we're signing a 33-year-old striker who has been available for free since the transfer window. We are signing him a couple hours to deadline day. You understand? So I feel like this is a panic buy. I don't think we have a manager that has the power to attract the kind of players that we would like. We've been pursuing Sancho since right from when he left Man City. Throughout last season, we were making compilations of him and all that stuff. And then we got transfer window and then we can't even get Sancho. Now, that might be one due to the board. I mean, they have like a major because Dortmund have said, this is the amount of money we are requesting. Bring it and the player is yours. And the board have not given him that. But then again, you don't see Sancho forcing a move out of Dortmund. We've had players force a move out of their club because they want to play in a certain club or because they want to play with a certain manager. But we don't have a manager that can attract those kind of players.
Can I talk?
Talk to me.
Tell us first the move, though.
Yeah, I'm talking. Yeah, of course. I read it Bruno. This afternoon. Bruno.
Yes, he did.
Well, I'm not aware of the Bruno.
Yeah, I can.
But yeah, anyways, we have a bunch of players. We have a very tactically inept manager, and our season is almost over before it starts. So, well, it is what it is.
Officially,
he's always in for the sack, Chris.
Question. Wait, hold on. Ole in or Ole out? Emmanuel, Ole in or Ole out?
Ole in now.
Ole in or Ole out? Very much Ole out. Okay. That brings us to the end of today's podcast. Thank you guys so much for joining me today. It was an absolute pleasure. I had a good time. Had some disagreements. But yes, it is what it is. So until next time, you guys have a wonderful night.
Hope say una enjoy the match, sha.
We don't dribble.
We don't shoot our shots.
We don't tear it.
And we don't put 3 points for pockets. Till next Sunday on Red to the Bones.
Tell your friends where they can't see, waiting you save don't see.